Every year, between Christmas and Easter, our gospel readings take us on the same journey through Jesus' life. So far this year, we have made several familiar stops on this journey already. We've been to Jesus' birth, his baptism, his temptation, and today, his transfiguration. In the past few months, we have already been with Jesus in a stable, at the river, and in the desert. And before we arrive at Jesus' resurrection, we must still travel through Jerusalem and Golgotha. We must confront the darkness of the tomb. But today, in the story of the Transfiguration, we are on the mountain. And it's great here. Maybe we can stay here. Moses and Elijah are here. Even God is here in the form of a talking cloud. What do you say we just build ourselves some homes up here, maybe a church, and forget about the last leg of this journey with Jesus? Let's forget about the coming descent into betrayal, despair, and crucifixion.
Oh, get behind me, Satan.
Let's stay on this mountain and bask in Jesus' glory. Pull up a lawn chair and soak up the sun that's shining out of Jesus' face and reflecting off his dazzling robes. Life is good on the mountain.
I said, get behind me, Satan.
Jesus, is that you? What are you doing here?
This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.
Get up and do not be afraid. Listen and understand. This moment on the mountaintop is special, but it's not the end of the story. We can't stay forever on a mountaintop. There is more work to be done. There are people who need healing. There are words of challenge and encouragement to be spoken. There is evil to confront. And there's a great sacrifice to be made. Can you not stay awake for 1 minute?
What?
Get up, Laura. It's time to finish your sermon.
As I was saying, life is good on the mountain. I agree with Peter, Jesus' disciple, who stands on the mountain before beholding the marvel of the Transfiguration. And Peter says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I'm with Peter. The mountain is the place to be. And if we think about where Peter has been just prior to this ascent up the mountain, it's probably not surprising that he shows such enthusiasm for this event and this place. Lord, it is good for us to be here. This shining moment on the mountain, however, has only come after Peter has climbed this mountain with a burden on his heart. Let me describe for you two snapshots from the valley, scenes of Peter and Jesus together before the mountain, before the Transfiguration. In the first, Jesus asks his disciples if they know who he is. You are the Messiah, Peter says correctly. Jesus is pleased. Jesus blesses Peter and calls him the rock upon which his church will be built. In the second snapshot, Jesus is revealing to his disciples that he must suffer and die. May this never come to pass, Peter exclaims. This time, Peter is not praised. He is not the rock. Jesus calls him a stumbling block, exclaiming, "Get behind me, Satan." So it is with these two recent events on his mind that I imagine Peter standing on the mountain, dazzled by the glory of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, Here is the place to build a church, he thinks. Here is the place to forget everything that Jesus said about suffering and death, a place to dwell in glory. This time it is God who interrupts Peter's fantasy, the fantasy of dwelling in a place without suffering and death. As God's voice thunders from the cloud, Peter and the other disciples fall to the ground in fear. And this time, perhaps Jesus knows that he has already rebuked Peter enough. Maybe he took it a little too far, calling Peter Satan the last time Peter misinterpreted God's plan. But you know, Jesus was dealing with his own stuff that day, the whole breaking the news of his imminent suffering and death stuff. Today, on the mountain, Jesus sees Peter cowering on the ground in fear. He touches him. He says, "Get up and don't be afraid. It's been a long day, and it's time to go down the mountain." Now, I hope all the good prairie folk in this congregation aren't getting too bogged down with all this talk about the mountain. Granted, most of us may not have a lot of actual experience ascending and descending mountains. We may not have a lot of real mountains around, but a lot of us know a thing or two about that mountaintop feeling in our own lives. Today, the Sunday of our annual general meeting, is a bit of a mountaintop day in our church year. If you skim through our church's annual report, you might be forgiven for thinking that Peter did indeed build the church on the mountain. It is all good in our church. Flipping through the annual report and reflecting back on this past year, I remember lots of mountaintop moments. Shiny, hopeful, glorious moments. I remember the mountains of produce at the Yazidi farmers markets in the fall. I remember the mountains of knitting that were dedicated. I remember the mountains of white gifts piled under the tree by the children. I remember the mountains of pancakes we consumed 2 weeks ago on Mardi Gras Sunday. Yet, the more I reflect on these moments, the more I realize that this church is not built on the mountain. This church is faithfully following Christ up and down the mountain. Every Sunday, we have our moment on the mountain where we feed ourselves with song, word, and bread. We have our mountaintop moment of glory, and then Jesus touches us and says, "Don't be afraid. It's time to go down to the valley." And with the mountaintop glow in our hearts, we are able to do the work that needs to be done in the valley. In the valley, we know that the mountain of Yazidi produce exists alongside a shadow that is cast by religious intolerance and forced displacement. And we give thanks that Jesus has been with us in the valley, where we were able to listen to painful stories and provide support. In the valley, we know that the mountains of knitting and white gifts only exist because of the shadow cast by poverty and struggle. And we give thanks that Jesus has been with us in the valley, guiding our hands as we extend our care. In the valley, we know that the mountain of pancakes was consumed not in a church of shiny, happy people, not in a place of unfettered glory, but in a community that joins together in the midst of sickness, pain, and death to extend the love of Christ to one another. And we give thanks that Jesus has been with us in the valley where we have failed and faltered and being forgiven. These moments on the mountaintop are special, but they don't tell the whole story. Moments of glory are stops on the Christian journey, but they will not be our final destination as long as Jesus continues to touch us lightly, saying, "Do not be afraid. Follow me into the valley."